أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. Tonight's talk is about Isha, the time of the Isha prayers. Like the previous discussion about the previous prayers, we talked about the two different times, the specific and the common time, the Mukhtas, Waqtun Mukhtas and Waqtun Mushtarak. And for Isha, likewise, we have a Waqtun Mukhtas and a Waqtun Mushtarak. Waqtun Mukhtas, the specific time of Isha, is defined as the time before the midnight. The Islamic definition of the midnight, which we will define very soon, what's the Islamic definition of midnight. The time before midnight, which suffices for four rak'ats of Isha. That means that much time which suffices for four rak'ats of Isha. Usually, if you take 5 minutes of time, usually, to pray four rak'ats of prayers, 5 minutes before the midnight, 5 minutes before the Islamic definition of midnight, is mukhtas and specific to Isha only, where you're not supposed to pray other prayers. So that's the, let's suppose this is the midnight, Islamic definition of the midnight. Now, for example, let's suppose it's 1 a.m. For example, the midnight. So now you take 5 minutes to pray. Usually you take 5 minutes to pray Isha prayers. So 12:55 a.m. is the time where your Maghrib prayers become Qabla. Now there's only 5 minutes remaining for the Islamic midnight, which is 1 a.m. let's suppose. So there's 5 minutes remaining, and you take 5 minutes usually to do Isha prayers. So at 12:55 a.m. you cannot pray the Maghrib prayers at all. Maghrib has already become Qabla for you on that night. Now all you can pray in these 5 minutes is the Isha. So this is the Mukhtas and the specific time of Isha. So Maghrib becomes Qadha before the time you require usually to pray four rakats of Isha prayers, before that time arrives, before the Islamic midnight. Before the Islamic midnight, when that much time is remaining only, Maghrib becomes Qadha before that. That's the end time. 12:55 would be the end time of Maghrib prayers for you. In that case, in this example. So, if you are praying two rakats of Isha prayers, for example, you are a musafir and traveler, then you two rakats, let's suppose you take 3 minutes to pray, so then 12:57 will be the time where your Maghrib prayers will become Qabla. There's only now 3 minutes remaining, so all you can pray in those three is Isha. You cannot pray the Maghrib. You do the Isha prayers, and after that, then you do the Maghrib as Qadha. So this is called a Mukhtas and specific time of Isha. And the Mushtarak, which means the common time of Isha prayers, is, if you recall, we discussed the Maghrib time. When the Maghrib time starts, Maghrib, when the Maghrib time starts now, soon after the time starts, now as much time as you usually take to pray three rakats of Maghrib prayers, let's suppose it's 4 minutes. Usually you take 4 minutes to say your Maghrib prayers, three rakats of Maghrib. So the first 4 minutes is the mukhtas and specific time of Maghrib prayers. So where we don't pray other prayers. Now this is the waqtun mukhtas, the specific time of Maghrib. Whether you pray your prayers or you don't pray your Maghrib prayers, this is specific to Maghrib. Regardless of the fact you pray the Maghrib or you don't pray the Maghrib. Now when these 4 minutes have expired, now this time up till here is the common time between Maghrib and Isha. This is called the common time, Waqtun Mushtarak. Here you can pray either any other Qadha prayers, you can pray other Nafila prayers, Mustahab prayers, or you can pray the Maghrib. Obviously you can always pray the Maghrib if you have, you have to pray if you have not prayed Maghrib yet, and then after that you do the Isha or any other prayers that you want to pray. It's okay to pray between the common time. So this is the specific time of Maghrib, Waqtun Mukhtas. This is the specific time of Isha, Waqtun Mukhtas. Here the Maghrib becomes Qadha. Here after you, the specific time passes away, whether you pray Maghrib or you don't pray Maghrib. This is specific. Now you enter into the common time. Is that clear? So this is the description of the specific time and the common time for the Isha prayers. Now the definition of the midnight. The Islamic definition of the midnight. Islamic definition of midnight is, we have two definitions of midnight. One definition is used for the sake of Isha prayers becoming Qadha. There is a definition that we utilize when we are talking about the Isha prayers becomes Qadha at the Islamic midnight. So after the Islamic midnight, if you pray the Isha, you will pray it with the niyat of Qadha. The time has gone, time expired. Before that, you will pray with the niyat of Ada. That means it's within time. So the definition of midnight, as when we are discussing the Isha prayers becoming Qadha, is different than the second definition, which is related to Salatul Layl, the night prayers. The definition when about the midnight, if we are talking about Salatul Layl, is different. Which will come very soon, inshallah. So Isha prayers become Qadha at what time? So here, if you want to find out the Islamic definition of midnight regarding the Isha prayers becoming Qadha, is that you take the Maghrib time tonight, and take the Fajr time. Fajr means the time of the Adhan of Fajr tomorrow. And then make it half. Take the Maghrib time tonight and Fajr time tomorrow. For example, let's suppose the Maghrib time tonight is 8 p.m. For example, Fajr time tomorrow, for example, is 5 a.m. Let's suppose for a moment. So make it half. So that means that one, because it's
9 hours to 4 hours.
Yeah. So 12:30. Yeah, it's 4 hours here and 5 hours there. That's 9 hours in total. So it's a total 9 hour time, and 9 hours you divide it into half, which is 4.5 and 4.5. So you can add 8 p.m. plus 4.5 hours, which equals to 12:30 a.m. Is that clear? So for the Isha prayers to become qada tonight, if the Maghrib time is 8 p.m. tonight and tomorrow's Fajr time is 5 a.m., the Maghrib time, Maghrib Salah, Isha prayers will become qada at 12:30 a.m. That's the midnight for the Isha.
So
No, Maghrib is getting qada at 12:25. If you pray 30. Maghrib is going to become qada at 12:25 if on the supposition that you usually take 5 minutes to pray 5 rakats of 4 rakats of Isha prayers. If you usually take 10 minutes, for example, in your favor, Maghrib will become qada at 12:20. It depends on you. How much you usually take to say 4 rakats of Isha prayers. So if you take 5 minutes, in your favor, Maghrib becomes qada at 12:25. If somebody takes, let's suppose, 3 minutes to say Isha prayers, 4 rakats of Isha prayers, for him, Maghrib becomes qada at 12:27. Last 3 minutes are mukhtas for Isha. So 12:30 a.m. would be the midnight, Islamic midnight calculation for tonight's Isha prayers becoming qada. Is that clear? Now let's go to the second definition of midnight. Islamic definition of midnight, if you're talking about the Salatul Layl, the night prayers, well then what we do is that we take the Maghrib time of tonight and take the sunrise time of tomorrow, and then you make it half. So let's suppose the sun Maghrib time tonight was 8 p.m. The sunrise time was 7 a.m. let's suppose. So now 5.5 hours, isn't it right? So now you would do is that 1:30. So now 1:30 a.m. is the Islamic midnight definition for Salatul Layl. So after 1:30 a.m. you can stand up and do your Salatul Layl. Not before that, if you get the thawab of doing it after the midnight. You can do the Namaz Shab Salatul Layl before the midnight as well. If for those people who think they cannot wake up, Islam allows them to, well, after Isha prayers, you can do your night prayers and then go to sleep. You can do that, but then the thawab will be less. If you want to get higher thawab, you have to wait till the Islamic midnight and then do the night prayers. Or the highest thawab is obviously to wake up few minutes before the Fajr time and do the Salatul Layl closest to the Fajr time. That's the highest thawab. It's called Sahar, at the time of Sahar. But this is the Islamic definition of midnight, which is applicable for the Salatul Layl. No, you cannot do the Salatul Layl after Fajr. If you do it, obviously it will be qada. It will be qada. It's allowed by the fatwa of Maraje to, if you did, you know, basically, qada of nawafil is also allowed, but you will lose the sawab. That sawab which is specific to doing the Salatul Layl at the time of Sahar, it's specific to that time. Even the nawafil of the rest of the nawafil are allowed to do qada. And if we don't do qada, then we give food as mud, ta'am, food, you know, for the miskeen mu'min people for each. That's for nawafil. If we didn't do qada, it's mustahab to give food in the place of each nafila. If you remember, we mentioned that in the Eid khutbah. One of the khutbas of the Eid, I mentioned the kafara. It's not a kafara, but it's thawab to mention, give this much food in lieu of each nafila prayers if we did not do the nawafil for today, for the poor people. Yes.
Either there a niyat, if you don't know if
the nawafil, well, yeah, I'm coming to that point, yeah. So these are the two definitions of Islamic midnight. In Arabic, we call it Muntasaful Layl. Muntasaful Layl. Nisf al-Shab. So these are two ways to calculate. Depends on which prayers we are talking about. So if... So that's how we calculate. Now, in the fatwa of Imam Khomeini, it was there that basically after the Islamic midnight, you can still pray your Maghrib and Isha prayers. Let's suppose for Isha, the Islamic midnight is 12:30 a.m. tonight. So you can, even after 12:30, the Isha and Maghrib and Isha does not become Qadha. So in his fatwa, you can pray the Maghrib and Isha prayers even after 12:30 a.m. if that's the time, let's suppose. Even after that, you can pray the Maghribain with the niyat of Mafid Dhimma. So whatever is on your shoulder, whatever is responsibility is on you, it will be counted likewise. So if it was wajib upon you in the eyes of Allah to do the adha, it should be counted as adha. If it was wajib in the eyes of Allah, you know, to be qada, then it should be counted as qada. This is called mafid dhimma. So we pray. According to his fatwa, we would pray the Maghrib and the Isha prayers after the Islamic midnight definition of Isha becoming Qadha. After that, we'd pray the Maghrib and Isha prayers both with the niyat of Mafid Dhimma, not with the niyat of Qadha, and not with the niyat of Adha. That we can do until the Fajr time, yes. Until the Adhan of Fajr. Yes. Awwal Waqt is obviously basically as soon as you are done with the Maghrib prayers, you enter into the common time, which is also the beginning time. Now, when the whole sky, remember we discussed in the last class, so here is the east and here is the west, and there's a sun is setting towards the west. So here is the redness in the sky, and this redness starts to disappear from the east towards the west. So when the redness, so here it reaches on top of your head, when the redness starts moving here towards the west, away from the top of your head, that's the beginning time of Maghrib prayers. And obviously when the whole redness is gone, that's where you will pray the Isha prayers. Well, you can always pray it soon after the Maghrib, that's, you can do that, that's okay. But you know, when the whole redness is gone and sky turns black, the whole sky is now dark, that's where is the time of Isha.
But if you're doing right after, it still be considered.
It's okay. Yes, yeah, right? Yeah. That's for perfectly. That's good. That's okay. No. At this time, the sky is totally dark. There is no light at all because the sun has gone really down. When we pray the Maghrib prayers, there is no light at all of the sun. It's just the redness, not the shine of the sun. It's the redness remaining, and that's also on the in the half of the sky horizon, not on this half. But when the this time of the Isha, there is no redness at all. So it's, the sky is totally dark. This is what is. Even when we say the Maghrib, in Arabic, the word al-layl, the night, applies. So night, we pray the Maghrib at the time of the night. So if there is, when the sun sets and there is a redness in the whole sky, and the redness did not disappear from the east towards the west, which is now the beginning time of Maghrib, if the redness is still there in the whole sky, then they don't call it night. Even in astronomy, if you look at the definitions of night, they don't call it night. That much brightness is there in the sky, it's not called night. So, you know, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about fasting, وَأَتِمُّ السِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. وَأَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. That means you end the fasting to the night. So we have to fast till the night arrives. So if there is a redness in the sky, even non-Muslims who are astronomers, they don't call it night. They call it is still day because there is brightness in the sky all over. So night is only called when there is the darkness coming over the sky. Darkness comes when this brightness, this redness on the eastern side diminishes and it starts moving towards the left, towards the west. So that's where it is called the night. In our definition. Even about the prayers, Quran says, لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل. لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل. Here again the word ليل is mentioned. وقرآن الفجر. إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. So basically we do the Maghrib prayers in the Layl. when the Lail and the night arrives. So obviously, and obviously Isha is also in the night. So these are the night prayers, not the late evening. So the Nafila of Isha, Nawafil, as so we have two rakats of Fajr prayers, two rakats of the Nafila, which is for the Fajr prayers, which has to be done before the Fajr. And then we have eight rakats of the Nafila prayers for the Dhuhr, and eight rakats for the Isha, which has to be done we do it before the Dhuhr prayers, eight rakats before the Dhuhr, and then eight rakats before the Asr. And obviously we do all these Nafilas as two rakats in pairs. And then for Maghrib we have four rakats of Nafila, which has to be done after the Maghrib prayers, two rakats. And then we have two rakats of Nafila prayers after, which is done after the Isha. But then when we do these two rakats in the sitting position, which is more sawab to do it in the sitting position, these two rakats of Nafila of Isha has more sawab to do it in the sitting position. So that's why we do it two rakats in the sitting position. Otherwise, originally it's not two rakats. Originally it's just one rakat of Nafila prayers of Isha. So one rakat which was supposed to be said in the standing position. We do it two rakats because we are doing in the sitting position. And why we are doing in the sitting position? Because sitting position for this Nafila has more thawab. So it's originally it's a one rakat Nafila. So that's how we, when you calculate all the prayers together, so it totals up to be 51 rakat of total prayers. 51 rakats, which is the sign of a mu'min, that he performs 51 rakats of prayers in the day and the night, which includes the wajib prayers and the mustahab prayers together. So 17 plus 34, including the, excluding. Why? Yeah. So this is the Nawafil only. These Nawafil only. 17 plus 34, that's 51 rakats. So you count as 8, it's 16 rakats for Dhuhr and Asr. Then 2 rakats for Fajr, it's 18. Then 4 rakats for Maghrib, it's 22. And then, let's not count this for now, it's 22. And then 17 plus 22.
22,
32, and 739, yeah. Isn't that right?
So 51 would be including the
Salatul Layl. That's what. Yeah. Then 11 rakats of Salatul Layl. 11 Salatul Layl is becomes how much? 39. How much were there? Yeah, 16 and 2, 18, and 4, 22. 22 and 17 is 32 and 7, 39 plus 11 is 50, including 11 rakats of Salatul Layl, that becomes 50. Now you count one rakat of the Nafila of Isha, which is originally one rakat. We do it two rakats because we do in the sitting position because it had more sawab. So now it becomes 51. Before the Fajr.
And then 8 rakats for Zohar, you pray
before the Zohar, 8 rakats of Asr, you pray before the Asr.
So that's the time before the night, before the Adhan.
right after the Azan. You can do the Nafila, but you can't do other prayers.
Oh, so
Nafila is okay.
Time you can do Nafila?
Yeah, Nafila. It has to be done actually very quickly, because if it gets late, then Nafila will become Qadha. So the time of Nafila also becomes Qadha. And like I said, then if we do later, we can do it in the niyat of Qadha, but then obviously it will have less sawab. The time of Dhuhr is 1, now you start at 1:30, it's already Qadha, yeah.
So if I'm going to do my Dhuhr, should I do my Nafla or not?
With the niyat of Qadha, you can do that.
Nafla and then Dhuhr. Dhuhr is not Qadha.
But yeah, make sure your Dhuhr doesn't go out of the time of the Fadilat. If you think the Dhuhr is going out of the Fadilat, then don't do the Qadha of the Nafla right now at the cost of making the Dhuhr out of Fadilat time. So you better do the Dhuhr, and then you can do Nafila of the Dhuhr Qadha later on. At least you do your Dhuhr prayers in the time of the Fadilat. So Nafila becomes Qadha. If you have the Fadil Masail here, I'll let you know. I think it's, as far as I recall, it's 2/4 of 4/7 of the shadow. I don't know. So now you don't have the other one? Shab Jawad Tabrizi wali rakhi thi, haan? Ek toh masail mein ek... Haan. Yahaan toh masail nahi rakhi thi. Yeh rakhi thi. Haan, yeh hai. It's not here. Inshallah, I'll let you know in the next class. I don't remember exactly, so I don't want to misquote, but it's some segment of the shakhis. Remember that we discussed the shakhis, any kind of stick that we install on the ground vertically. So the shadow of the stick, this much was the time of the fadilat of the Dhuhr prayers. Isn't it right? So here it was somewhere equal to, I don't remember exactly, but one segment of the shadow. It's 2/7 or 4/7 of the shadow. I don't remember exactly, but I'll let you know later, inshallah, next class. That's where the fadilat of the nafila is. That's what the time of the nafila is. So after that time, the nafila will become qadha. If you're doing that late, then you basically you'll do it in the niyat of qadha.
If it's like 8 rakats before Zohar, right?
8 rakats before Zohar, yes. And
anytime between Fajr and Zohar we can pray.
No.
No. The Nafla of Zohar has to be done after the Zohar time enters. And that's what I said. I'll let you know what is the time of the Nafla where the shadow becomes, I don't remember exactly, to that much extent only. You have to do the Nafla really quick in the beginning time. Because if that time expires, then the Nafla time is Qadha. The time of Fadilat to Zuhur remains, but the Nafla will become Qadha.
After the two finger length, but before certain.
Yes.
Yeah. Why is that why we're allowed to pray while like doing? We actually have to pray. Nafla can be done. I think he's asking. Walking. Nafla can be done while, I guess, walking or working.
Yes, you can do that. Even driving. Even while driving, you can do the mustahab prayers like Nafila can be done. Because istiqbalul qibla, facing the qibla is not a shart in Nafila. But then you will have less sawab. If you stand and pray with all the conditions met, then you get more sawab. But if you're just doing the walking or driving, you can do the Nafila prayers, but the sawab is less. Yeah, wajib salat cannot be done while driving or walking.
But while as a passenger?
No, still you have to stand up and pray. Stand up and fulfill all the conditions of facing Qibla and standing up with istiqrarul badan. Your body has to be stationary, not moving, and all the rest of the conditions need to be met.
So in training,
you cannot sit and pray. As long as you can stand up, you cannot sit. And you have to face the Kaaba, Qibla, you know, and all the rest of the conditions. So you can't do it by sitting position in the aeroplane or in the car. You have to stand up and pray in the aisle.
So is it better than to wait to such time that you can actually stand in all the conditions?
If you think you are unable to meet the conditions of standing and all the rest in the beginning time, and then you can do it after 1 hour, then fine, wait for 1 hour. Yes, you will lose the time of Fadilat, that's true. But then, like if you're in the airplane and they don't let you to stand up, for example, you can ask their permission. If they allow, that's good. If they don't allow you to stand up and pray, then you wait until the plane lands. And you still have the, given the fact that you still have the time of the prayers remaining, then you can go and pray on the ground.
But in the plane moving, that's not a problem?
That's not a problem if you are not moving. If you are moving because of the movement of the plane, that's acceptable. If you can avoid that, avoid it. If you cannot avoid that, then that's okay.
Basically, if turbulence happens and you kind of shake a little bit, it's okay.
Yeah, as long as you are not shaking, the plane is shaking you. That's okay.
Right.
Yeah. If you can avoid the turbulence, like if you can stand up and pray at the time where it's a smooth flight, like when they go up there above 10,000 meters, above 35,000, 37,000 feet, usually there are no clouds, so it's smooth. If you can wait for a while, then there's no turbulence, and then stand up and pray, that's good. Do that. You have to do it. But if you all of a sudden there is some turbulence, you can wait for a couple of seconds if the turbulence stops, so you don't read anything during movement. But if you think that if you find the turbulence is continuing, and then obviously the movement is not in your control, it's the plane which is moving you, that's okay. Just like the boat, if you're on a ship, cruise ship, boat, it has waves, it's moving, you have to pray. We have ahkam of Jalisus Safina, the person who is riding the ship, he has to pray. Even the waves are moving, that's okay. That's not, the movement is not from him, it's from the ship. The ship is moving.
But
so
if it throws you off where you're standing, what do you do?
Then you pray with the life jacket on. So you can save your life and get back to the ship.
But the thing is, as soon as you move, like few steps or something, will.
Yeah, if it throws you, obviously, then. If it throws you off, then obviously you stop facing the Qibla, you fall down, your salat will no longer be valid.
Oh, so
mm-hmm.
If the boat is
It is wajib on you to change. It is like the airplane. If the airplane is turning, don't do your prayers at that time when it's turning. When it's going straight, that's where you have to stand up and pray. Do it. So if it starts turning, the boat starts turning, then you stop reading whatever you are reading and let the boat turn. And when it turns in this direction, then you, when it is turning, then you keep on adjusting your direction according to the turn back towards the qibla, but without reading anything. And then if the turn ends, you are also adjusting according to the turn. You are also moving on the opposite side to adjust your direction. Then the turn stop, boat stops turning. You are still facing the qibla, because you kept on adjusting your direction without reading anything. You have to stop reading because you can't read anything during your movement. So now that you adjusted and the turn stopped, so now you again start reading.
So you in that 45-degree margin?
Sorry?
The margin that's being created 45 degrees.
Like if it moves 15 degrees and you still keep the same direction?
No, obviously you have to adjust towards the qibla. So if the boat or the airplane moves, then first thing is that you stop reading anything that you're reading. And if it's moving right, you adjust yourself a little bit in the opposite direction to keep yourself towards the qibla. It moves further, you further move like this to keep your direction towards the qibla. So
it's hard to sense when a plane
is usually we do
it.
Yeah, we should better not start praying at that time, because usually when the flight goes, the plane moves to fix the direction in the few minutes only, and after that it goes straight. Always, almost always it's like this, unless rarely. So you start the prayers to avoid this kind of confusion and difficulty when the brain is moving straight. And just do it faster, I would suggest. You can also drop your mustahab things so that you can do at least the wajib prayers straight without the movement of the body. All of a sudden if it starts turbulence, then this will be again a problem. So just do the wajib things of the prayers, even if you have to drop your mustahab things, it's still fine, because at least you can do your prayers properly. No, we don't say that while we are moving. We'll come to that point very soon. We are arriving those ahkam, Sami Allahu liman hamida, and how we are supposed to say and what else we are supposed to say at that time. We'll come to that inshallah. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.